Would you look around to somebody, give someone a shake and shake their hand and give them a high five? Tell them that it's great to see you in the house of the Lord, where we expect great things to take place here. Praise God. Hallelujah. Your church and make us all ignite, transform, take us to a place we've never seen before.
You've done the impossible. We've seen the mountains move before. Your word is unstoppable. With expectation we declare the mountains stand before us.
Every curse is breaking. Strong. come on all over this place. Let's just begin to lift our hands and just welcome the presence of the Lord here. He loves that sacrifice of praise. He's so worthy to be worshipped. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. You are worthy, Jesus. Yes. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of our God. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of our God. So I will rejoice. I will rejoice and be.
How you move, I can't stay here complacent anymore. I can't stay here. My heart is full of longing. I can't stay here. I know what I'm made for. You're breathing new life into dry bones. I hear the echo, the sound of heaven's song. Your spirit's calling me. I know it's time to go. I can't stay here anymore.
Oh, I can't stay here. have more for us, Lord. We're going deeper with you. If you want more, just begin to tell him that tonight. We want more of you.
I'm ready for deeper. I'm ready for a furious flood.
I'm ready for glory. I'm ready for kingdom come. I'm ready for deeper. I'm ready for furious flood. I'm ready for glory. I'm ready for kingdom come. I'm ready for deeper.
Hallelujah. Something's moving, something's changing. Sees glory, feels like heaven on earth. Something's moving, something's changing. Sees glory, feels like heaven on earth.
Something's moving, something's changing. Sees glory, feels like heaven on earth. Something's moving, something's changing. Sees glory, feels like heaven on earth.
Things lightning and thunder, miracles and wonders. Feels like heaven on earth.
Something's moving, something's changing.
Oh, we're testifying tonight.
Feel like heaven on earth. Something's moving, something's changing. Sees glory, feels like heaven.
Service and something just changed. It was like a shift. Something changed in that service. I just believe that maybe there's some people with some needs today, tonight at service, and I just want you to know I believe that something's in the house that can meet that need. I believe if your body needs to be healed, then something's in this house that can heal it. Maybe you have some financial needs. I believe that Jesus is in this house and he can change it. Amen. Amen. Pastor mentioned this and I thought of it and I walked up. Stephen, do you want to run up here real quick? Stephen, when he was born, I'm going to have him share this real quick. Come right up. Stephen could not hear. Is that right, Stephen? He couldn't hear or talk. Couldn't hear or talk. But what happened, Stephen?
When I was born mute, I couldn't speak or hear, as she mentioned. And when I was 4 years old, God touched my mouth and I started speaking. And from then, I've been talking nonstop.
So maybe tonight you need a miracle. I felt that when we were in the service. If you need something, if you need a miracle, thank you, Stephen. If you need a miracle, I want you to raise your hand and we're just going to believe that God is able to do it tonight. Tonight, I want you to raise your hand if you need a miracle. There's something that needs to be changed. There's something that needs to be changed. We're going to believe that right tonight that God can do that. Will you pray with me? I want to hear you praying. God, I pray in the name of Jesus. You see every need that's here tonight. I pray, God, that you begin to heal tonight. We recognize that you are in the house tonight. You're our healer, you're our provider, you meet our needs, you bless us, you give us favor, whatever we need.
that you are able to do it tonight. We just want to take a minute to thank you that you're our healer. Let's just thank him that he's our provider. Hallelujah. We just thank you. Thank you, Jesus. He's so good. He's so good. Amen. I want you to tell about two people. He's so good, and you may be seated. He is so good. He is so good. He is so good. Amen? Amen. I just know something is going to happen in this house tonight, and it's going to be good. Ushers, if you want to get ready, we're going to give an offering. I just have a couple announcements that I want to share. Next Sunday morning is one of our, my personal, and Sister Kelly had mentioned it too, it's one of my favorite services of the whole year. Next Sunday morning, we're going to have every child, every student, Ignite student, we're going to have the high school students, the college students, and we are going to line up and lay our hand on every one of them, and they're going to go through that line, and we're going to believe for a great year for them. Amen? Do you believe that our students need God's blessing on them? They need it, and we believe that prayer and God's anointing makes a difference in our schools. So next Sunday, you just don't want to miss it. And if you're working in the school, we're going to pray over you and believe God's blessings are on the local schools. Amen? Amen. And then after, we're going to have a bash, and we're going to have a free lunch, and it's just going to be a great time. There's going to be a rock wall. I'm going to go against Pastor, and I'm going to beat him. Not so much, but maybe he'll do it. There will be a rock wall, a bounce house. There's going to be snow cones. We're just going to have a good time together because we're family. Amen? Amen. So next Sunday, you do not want to miss it. I wanted to share a testimony that I got of a family in this church. Do you know that God cares about our finances? He cares about our finances. And this couple is faithful to our church. They're parents, and they bring their children every Sunday. And she wanted to continue her education to be a nurse. And she went in last week to the financial department, sat there, and they just said, I'm sorry, it doesn't look like it's going to work this year. We just can't make it work. We just can't do it. And so that was on a Friday. How many say Friday? But on the next Tuesday, after she had been praying that weekend and believing, and you know, she kind of got to the point where she actually said, I'm just going to be okay with whatever you do, God. But there was a moment that she found God's favor, and they called her, asked her to come back to the college, and she thought, they're going to take my parking ticket, you know, the parking thing, and they're going to take all my things. I forgot to return them. And they called her into the office, and they said, because of your hard work, because you got to work hard, because of your positive attitude, even though it didn't look right, and some, you have such a passion, then we are going to give you the rest of your college completely free. So I want you to know that God's favor, when we're faithful, God returns it. It says that Noah found God's favor. It doesn't mean it ever left him, but at some point he caught up and found it. So we're just so thankful that when you are continually faithful to God, I promise you that he will be faithful to you in different areas, not just finances, and in different things. And let's just ask God's blessing on this offering and what we're going to be able to do with it this week. God, we just thank you that you're so good. We're so thankful, Lord, that you took care of Bridget and Brian. We just want to say thank you. But God, maybe there's a few people here tonight that need that breakthrough. They need that favor in their finances. And I pray in the name of Jesus that you will bless their finances, that you'll bless their home, that you'll bless everything they do, their job, that you'll just bless them. We thank you that we can find favor in you, and we thank you for it. And we ask you to bless the rest of this service. May things happen tonight that will just be so good. May things happen tonight that will turn some things in the spirit tonight. And we're thankful for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. God bless you in your giving tonight. I want to welcome everyone. We're so glad you're here. Thank you, Joel. All right. Thank you, bud. Everybody that's joining us online, wherever you are, God bless you. We're glad that you're here. I know that God is going to do something spectacular in our presence tonight. What a wonderful presence of the Lord here this morning. And I'm glad that he didn't leave. I'm glad God didn't take a nap and miss service tonight. I'm glad that he is here. Would you help me welcome all of the Faith Bible College International students spread out all over the building tonight? Welcome back home. Welcome back to town. They have arrived from all over the world, from New York, from Maryland, from California, from Chile, from Kenya, from Zimbabwe, from Rwanda, from Canada. We have some students speaking Canadian, eh? I want everybody from India to stand. Everybody from all the Indians. I want the Indians to stand. We got some little India over here. Kiri. Thank you. You can be seated. Young man from Spain, Josue, is here. I'm trying to think of the other places they're from. Southern Maine. You're going to watch those Southerners. They're mostly Democrats, I can tell by looking at them. But God does wonders. God does wonders. Praise God. Oh, thank God. His presence is so wonderful, isn't it? I don't feel like hurrying because I don't want to. I'm just glad that God is here. Amen. Let's lift our voice and let's just praise him, thank him. One more time. Lord, we honor you tonight. We praise you. I'm glad we don't have to manufacture your presence. I'm glad we don't have to dim the lights, turn on special effects. I thank you all you need, God, for simple faith. Hallelujah. Whether it's in India, Spain, Canada, or here in the country, Lord, we thank you that your presence is so strong. Evidence yourself to us, we pray, in a marvelous way tonight. Let everybody leave different in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. Amen. As you go tonight, would you grab one of these cards? There are invitations for people to come to the Back to School Bash. And I'm ready for a great crew of visitors to join us. Always well attended. And I know that you know people with students. No parent that you know of, if you invite them to say, come bring your child to be blessed, I think would ever say no. I think every one of them would say yes. It'd be a great chance for them to hear the gospel and their children to be blessed. All right, open your Bibles if you would with me. Let's stand together for God's Word, just out of respect for the Bible. Amen. How many get your Bible with you? Just go ahead and lift up that paper Bible or digital Bible. Look at all those Bibles here. That's where we get our faith, is it not? How many know, and I understood from what the Word said this morning that faith is what gets us the victory. And it was an amazing. Did you sense there was just an amazing atmosphere of faith here this morning? Somebody said if a devil worshiper was here, they'd have gotten saved themselves. And well, I believe that would be true. I would believe it to be true. But I want God to continue to speak to us. So we're going to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. If you're there, say I'm there. And the Bible says there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all, But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. In essence, what God is saying is spiritual power is given to you for every situation, and anybody can receive from the same source. We've covered these. Verse 8, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. Why do we need a word of wisdom? Because we don't know the future. God does. To another, the word of knowledge. We don't always know what somebody's dealing with, but the Holy Spirit can deal with an issue, maybe a secret, that will loose somebody and instantly deliver them. All through the same Spirit. Verse 9, what we preached this morning. To another, faith by the same Spirit. Tonight I want to take up two. Another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. Please help me, Jesus. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you. You can be seated. We're talking about the overflow of the gifts of the Spirit. These are the tools. I need you to hear what I'm telling you, and I will not. Any intelligent preacher knows that when it's 90 out and it's the end of the summer, you don't wear the people out. Just preach. So I'm going to get to it. But we need to understand very clearly that God never intended for His church to be built absent of the gifts of the Spirit. When we try to build something without the gifts of the Spirit, we're building our church, but we're not building His church. Jesus said, I'll build my church. So if He's building His church, He picks the tools. We don't get to pick what kind of church we want to be. It's a fallacy. It's an error. We are not called to build our concept of the church. We're called to get in alignment with God's blueprint for the church. And the church is not merely a nonprofit. The church is an force in the earth to counter anything the devil's trying to do to destroy the people. There was a shooting today. It was some kind of a thing in Jacksonville. Some young people were gathered for a Madden football tournament, and some mad person came in and just started shooting people up. How many know that's the devil? That's not mankind. That's not normal. That's the enemy is at work in our nation today. So how many would agree that it's time for the church to get to work in the nation today? Let's stop praying, oh God, move, and let's hear God pray, oh church, move. And move in the power of the gifts of the Spirit. And so when people want God, they shouldn't have to try to get into some weird mysticism. There ought to be enough God in the church that people can just say, let's go to the church. They know how to contact God. Here we just talk about the fact that will lump together the power of God to perform healings and the power of God to perform a miracle. Just as a way of testimony, how many for real, have experienced a healing in your body? Just raise your hand. Now, hold your hand up there. I think it would do everyone good who is not raising their hand if God has given you a free neck to look around. Look around. Even if your hand's up, look around. That's the majority of the crowd here tonight. I'm telling you, you're in the right church if you need God to heal you. I wonder how many of you have ever experienced, and don't raise your hand yet, a miracle. And a miracle is when the natural order of things is altered because of God's involvement. How many of you have experienced a miracle like that? Be honest. My goodness, over half of the crowd here tonight. I told you last week that God never intended us for have to have a blind faith. God wanted us to have a faith that has evidence. And so when you begin to talk to these people who've had healing, when you begin to talk to these people who've had miracles, you'll have to understand their entire belief system has changed because of it. If you have not experienced healing or miracle working power, it is quite likely that your belief system is still up for grabs. The only thing that I know that will change the wrong belief system of a generation that knows little to nothing about the Bible, they just trust what they see in movies. We do have a generation of people that have built spiritual doctrine on movies that they have. How many know there ain't nothing right about that? We need an outpouring of healings and miracles, not to make us known, but to make Him known, because a miracle will forever alter. You're going to really struggle to get any of these people who've experienced healing or miracle or both to ever say God does not do those kind of things anymore. Now let me just get right to the chase, Because every one of these gifts, there's a single purpose that God has told me to speak to you. And here's the single purpose of this gift tonight. The gift of healings and miracles is so that we are able to proclaim He is still the same God as He ever has been. Why is that important? Because it is human tendency to want to alter who God is. Throughout the Old Testament, they started making images, engraven images, trying to make a human expression and compared Him to mythical gods. But how many know He's not a God that's real strong? He's a God that's all powerful. He's not a God that knows a lot. He's a God that knows everything. Much like your wife. You need to understand that He is not the God of our making. He is the God that we are to get to know. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Aren't you glad for that? That He's not shifting with the tides. He's the same God in the 70s as He is today. I don't want to serve a God that changes with fads. I don't want to serve a God that's shifting with your experiences. I don't want to serve a God that is fitting your comfort zone. I want to serve a God that is smarter than us, stronger than us, wiser than us, and greater than us. Somebody say that with me. He's the same God. I get that because I understand when Saul faced Goliath, and Saul was equipped for every battle except this one. He was prepared. He had all the armor. He had all the gear to fight all the battles he'd ever been in. But this was a new one. And so David fought his way through the crowd. Excuse me. What's going on? Is there not a reason that you all are knocking on the knees? And they said, look, there's Goliath. He's been 40 days intimidating us, terrorizing us. It's the rally in the valley. And we don't know what to do. And David says, I know what to do. Who are you? Because really, they had the concept that God was big enough to kill anybody under 7 feet tall. They took out their measurements and they said, he's a foot taller than our God is able to kill. Let's negotiate a deal. And when David comes up to Saul, and Saul tries to give him his own clothes, and Saul was kind of like, oops, I won't get on that. And David said, no, I'm not doing that. And Saul says, well, what are you going to do? And David says, well, you know, just the other day, I was out in the field, I was tending the sheep, and a lion came up, and I found out it was lion season. And I killed the lion. And then the other day, I had a bag of donuts that I left out in the woods. I didn't know it. And a bear came up. And I checked my book, and it was bear season. And I whacked him. And I got a bear rug in my house with my big screen TV. And Saul was kind of like, that's nice. You won at the pet store. But this is Goliath. That's when David said, and the same God. And the same God that helped me then is the same God that'll help me now. I'm just telling somebody that raised their hand for healing, somebody that raised their hand for miracles, and the same God that did that can do this as well. And the same God that healed her is the same God that can heal you. He's the same God. He's not shifting. He's not getting weak. He's not growing a big beard and walking around with a cane. He is from everlasting to everlasting. He is the Alpha and the Omega, and He's everything in between. He's your God, my God, and He will not change. Somebody give God a hand clap of praise and thank God for His sameness. I'm halfway through. Let me get to this. Say that with me. He's the same God. Tonight when somebody gets healed, tonight when a miracle takes place, may we walk out and declare to the next generation, He's the same God as our grandfathers. Where is the God of Elijah? He's still the God of today. Listen to me, student. The same God that brought on Azusa Street, The same God that has shaken the nations, the same God that's building a church of a million in Lagos, Nigeria, is the same God in Charleston, Maine. He was the God of your great-grandparents, and He'll be the God of your children, should He tarry. He's the same God. Well, then what has happened? We've changed. He's the same God that was in the founding of the nation, but the nation has changed. But I thank God, God's raising up the church to bring the people back to the Savior. If you would go to John chapter 2 with me, and I want to talk to you about how we can access this gift of the Spirit called healings and miracles. It's a famous story. Jesus goes to a wedding. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. They ran out of wine. Mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." She gave him that mom look. Now there were 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. And Jesus said, "Fill the water pots with water," and they filled them up to the brim. And they took them, "Draw some out now," to the master of the feast, and they took it. And when the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, he did not know where it came from. That's interesting. But the servants who had drawn the water knew. That's awesome. The master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Every man at the beginning sets out good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now. This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him." I think it is absolutely hilarious that the first miracle Jesus did was at a wedding. Because there's no event on the planet that is so dichotomous than a wedding. Funny. I don't know what to do it anyway. Not everybody would, but I've done weddings for non-Christians, and I do weddings for Christians. I always find it kind of funny that non-Christians want a minister to give them scriptural vows on a platform in a church. So we've got non-Christians wanting to act like Christians. And then I do weddings for Christians, and I can't go to the reception anymore. Because we got Christians want to act like non-Christians at their wedding, and we got non-Christians want to act like Christians at theirs. Okay, I'm going to get off that. And it's true. So I'm saying that wasn't any different in Jesus' day. That we got a bunch of pagans trying to have this religious ceremony, and out of God's divine wisdom, he says, "Now that's a place to do a miracle. Now that's a place to do a miracle," because there's no place that you could ever do a miracle in that makes sense except at a wedding. I'm preaching a whole lot better than you're acting right now, because you're still like, fine, I'm fine with that. But this idea, I'm going to take everybody off if I got time. Seems like I do. This idea, we've got to have an atmosphere of miracles. Welcome to Goofy's world. Jesus did his first miracle, and it was an atmosphere of everything, but not for miracles. This idea that we've got to have the right lights, and we've got to have the right music, and we've got to have the right volume, and we've got to be in the right town, and we've got to have the right preacher, you've got to have order in your service. But I'm just going to tell you this right here. That's the whole premise of a miracle. A miracle is when God steps into something that nothing aligns to help the need, and yet God comes in and does something opposite to what the circumstances will say. Oh, isn't that a way to glorify God? Look, I'm telling you, preachers, if you can perform a miracle at a wedding, you can perform a miracle anywhere. Me personally, I do the miracle of disappearance. I'm like Elijah, I just walked with God, and I was not. Let me tell you, at the wedding, okay, I didn't even get to my scripture, verse 11, I'm meddling. The beginning of signs, okay, I guess I read it. Did I read it? Or it doesn't even seem like it. All right. Let me tell you what he did here. He took the water and turned it into wine. He shows two things. He shows his authority and he shows grace. Look at his authority. He takes H2O, I did the work, and turns it into C14H12O3. I paid attention one day in high school. He took the physical elements of one thing and he took the molecular makeup and he altered them. I'm telling you, if God can take H2O and turn into C14H12O3, then he can take your finances and turn them into something you never seen before. He'll take a bag lunch and turn it into dozens of baskets left over. Come on, I'm really glad he's not a limited God. He shows his authority over creation. He shows authority over time. To create wine or juice, it would take 4 years from the planting to the reaping to the fermentation to make wine. 6 years to make good wine. And in one moment, he did it all. I'm going to tell you, if we're going to win people to Christ, one, two, three, or four people a week, we're going to have to beg Jesus not to come for about 150,000 years. If this state, which they tell us is one of the least Christian states in the United States, and if we're called to flip it to become the number one Christian in the United States, we're going to ask God to do something as a matter of time so that we see him perform more miracles than we've ever seen before. Not only does he demonstrate his authority, he shows his grace. The father of the groom that is putting on the wedding, if he runs out of the goods, literally he could be taken to court and the wedding nullified. But aren't you glad that he's a God that'll do things that you don't even deserve? Somebody shout grace. Let me talk to you about what it takes very quickly, and we're going to get into this altar, and we're just going to position ourselves for God to do a miracle. Number one, if you want God to work the miracles, number one, you've got to give him an invitation. What's very interesting is that they did not have to go find Jesus. They had already invited Jesus when the need arose. I'm going to say tonight that if you get a need and Jesus isn't in your life, you can invite him. But it's a whole lot easier to start inviting him long before the need ever arises. Don't wait till the doctor's report says cancer. Don't wait till the lawyer says the lawsuit's going to go against you. Don't wait till you get the pink slip. Don't wait till your child gets in trouble. Why don't you start inviting God right now when things are good so that if the enemy does come to attack, you won't have to establish a prayer life. You're already walking with the Holy Ghost and you say, you've already been involved in these areas. Take care of this now. He needs it. Have you invited him into your need? Secondly, there must be the ingredients of a problem. Again, how many would like to see another miracle or healing? I hate to be too simple, but you know, you're going to have a problem first. A lot of people want miracles, but they don't want to get healed. And I understand. But we got to stop being so afraid of problems. Maybe we're too spoiled. Maybe we've had it too easy. But we've got to stop living our lives in a closet and just trying to avoid life's problems. And maybe we need to just start living free. And then if a problem does come. See, the problem was mankind needed a Savior. The answer was Mary gave birth to the Savior. Peter needed to pay his taxes. But the answer was there was money in the fish. The lame man was sick for 38 years. The answer was take up your bed and walk. The 10 lepers needed purification and Jesus healed them. Lazarus needed life and he was resurrected. The woman with an issue for 12 years received a touch from Jesus. There was a crowd that had no food, but Jesus stole a kid's bag lunch. What's your problem? Whatever your problem is, I've come to declare to you, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you've got a problem, he's got an answer. I think you ought to say, thank you, Jesus. I'm getting close to the end. Just hang with me. You're going to see a miracle of a short sermon. You got to have an invitation, a problem. There's got to be a voice. Somebody has got to say something to the Lord. She carried Jesus in her womb 9 months. She spent 30 years around him, and she knew that this was no natural man. She knew that everything about him was spiritual. Everything about him was supernatural. And if you're ever going to get anything from him, you've got to lift your voice and you've got to make your cry known unto God. Though he never did a miracle before, something within her said, I cannot be quiet. I've got to say something about the situation. Not only that, but you need a drawer. A drawer. I didn't say your drawers. A drawer. A drawer. See, that's what needs to happen at this church. This is what needs to happen at every church. Is there's got to be some people. Come on, musicians. There's got to be some people that know how to access the miracle. And let me make the point. The governor, the leader, the director of this wedding reception says, to the groom, I don't know where you got this, but this is the best at the last. Somebody, okay, watch this. Are you all okay? I know it's 180 degrees in here. We've got the wood boilers going just to make it so it feels cooler outside when you go out tonight. You're welcome. There are people, they just stumble onto miracles. They're like, I don't know how that happens. There are people who know how it happens. Hello? I don't want to be one of those people like, wow, how did that happen? I want to be one of those people and say, I know how that happened. Somebody prayed. Somebody fasted. Somebody got in the Word. Somebody believed. Somebody was bold. Somebody was courageous. I got saved to get involved. I didn't get saved to be awed. I didn't get saved to be a spectator. I didn't get saved so I'd clap my hands and pat people on the back. I got saved so I could read the red and receive the power. I got saved because I believe that God can dry up tumors, that God can cast out demons, that God can make the storm go away, that God can give you strength. I didn't come to read about it. I came to experience it. We need containers. We need people who know how to receive. I watch people come to altar services constantly, and I see people walk one way and they leave the same. And I pretty much know it when they come down. As a pastor, in what I believe is the gifts of the Spirit, when you come to and you do this, how long do I have to stand here? You're pretty much not going to get anything. Have you ever prayed for somebody who was like praying for a totem pole? Like, you're pretty sure a totem pole would have a better response. At least it would fall over if you pushed hard enough. And I'm not saying everybody's emotional, but I'm just saying there's some people, they don't know how to come and contain. They just know how to come and entertain and just kind of look around and walk. But how about you and I? I want to be a sponge. I want to be a container. I want whatever God's doing. I want Him to find in me room. I want Him to find room in my marriage. I want Him to find room in my children. I want Him to find room in my finances. I want Him to find room in my thought life. I want Him to find room in my private life. I want Him to find room in every room I give Him, He'll make Himself known in that room. And then the last one is we need the winemaker. We can be so enthused with all the miracles. But ladies and gentlemen, if we get the miracles but we lose the winemaker, we end up goofy like half of the other, like other churches. How many of you have ever been in a goofy church? They're granola bar churches full of flakes and nuts. That's an old one, but I'm glad you laughed. You know how you turn into a granola bar church? You get wrapped up in the miracles and you lose sight of who it is that did it. I never will forget the one who found me. How about you? How many of you want Jesus to be known? I want Jesus to be. If any miracle takes place, you ought to be quick to say, it was Jesus. The moment you say that man did it, or that woman did it, or that group did it, or that song did it, You're walking away from the winemaker. But the moment that it happens, you start saying, He did it. Hallelujah. He might have used them, but He did it Himself. You're going to find out He can do it over and over and over and over. Why? Because He's the same God as He's ever been. Somebody shout, He's the same God. If you believe it, get up on your feet if you would with me, please. And just begin to praise this same God as He deserves to be praised. Come on, begin to magnify Him. I love You, Lord. I magnify You. I lift my voice. You're a mighty God. You're a glorious God. Worthy to be praised. Worthy to be praised. Worthy to be praised. Miracles don't come to spectators. I'm sorry. Spectators come sick and leave sick. But those that are hungry leave full. Come on, begin to say, I'm going to be a participator. I want to be involved in the process. I want to be a container. Oh, may God move in my life with miracles, healing, signs, and wonders. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank You, Lord. Sing it. From day
to day. He will never lose.
Lift up your voice.
It's
I believe God's going to do a miracle for somebody tonight. Well, and it reaches to the highest mountain. That gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. Everybody that needs healing in your body, just stand across this altar. The elders are coming with you, and they're going to lay hands on you. As the Bible says, is any sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint you with oil. The prayer of faith will heal the sick. All right? Get shoulder to shoulder. Don't get behind anybody. We want to believe God to touch you and heal you. Everybody, if you would stay with me, we would love to have your prayer support. This is not going to take all night long. The gift of faith is in activation today, and we're believing that God is going to touch every person's body here tonight. All right? Is everybody here that wants prayer? Praise God. Is everybody here that wants prayer? Thank God.